Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rivalry Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about a whole lot of topics that you guys all will enjoy. Michigan State, Kansas basketball game, we're going to talk about that at the beginning. Obviously, Duke versus everybody else. Duke looked very impressive in their win. Obviously, over Kentucky, I mean, I don't even know pretty well what we could say at this point. I mean, it was just amazing to see what they could do against such a talented team in Kentucky. I don't know how good Kentucky is, but they just completely dominated. It wasn't even a game, and very, very impressive, to say the least, for Duke. I mean, they're just the real deal. And they're going to be hard to beat this year. When they're on their game, they're going to be very hard to beat. And, you know, it's just one of those deals where, you know, when they're playing good basketball, I don't see any team in the country beating them. And that's just the bottom line. The bottom line is they're that talented. They're that skilled. We're going to talk a lot about Michigan State football and Michigan football, obviously. A whole lot to talk about on that end. College football playoff for Michigan, a lot at stake here. A lot of things that got to happen for them, though, if they want to get to that level. And I truly believe that if Michigan wants to win this Big Ten Conference, Ohio State's still it. I mean, I really think Ohio State, you know, as bad as they have played, you have a situation where they are just that team that you haven't been able to beat. And I really think that they're going to win out. This is a big one for Ohio State this weekend. I think, obviously, Michigan State could really do Michigan some favors if they win. If Michigan State could beat Ohio State, I think that doesn't count for Michigan. I mean, obviously, for the easy reasons where Michigan, you know, I don't see them losing the Rutgers or Indiana. And obviously, maybe the pressure is off Michigan where they can go and say, hey, we've already won the Big Ten. Now we have something even bigger to play for. I really think that Ohio State Michigan State game this weekend is big, really big. For Michigan State, obviously, they have a lot to play for. The excitement has really changed for that fan base. I think people are now talking to your six bowl, so that really changes your whole mindset. They beat Purdue. A lot of excitement with Rocky Lombardi, and all of a sudden, next week, they get a convincing win over Maryland, and they're 18th in the country now. So Michigan State bounced back pretty quickly. So we'll talk a lot about football towards the end. We're going to get right to that, but I've got Tyler Hayward on. We're going to talk about Michigan State right away. Obviously, Tyler, we had talked quite a bit prior to the show about what we had thought about Michigan State now and then moving towards the future. Quick thoughts on the game against Kansas, what you've seen.
Well, I think pretty much what you saw in that game against Kansas is what you're going to see the entire season. You're going to see some inconsistent play. You know, Langford is an inconsistent scorer. He needs to be that guy who can take over a game. Ultimately, when it comes down to getting the last shot, you know, I'm fine if McQuaid's in the corner, or I'm fine with Cassius Winston trying to break down someone off a pick and pop with Kenny Goins even, because apparently he developed a pretty decent three-point shot over the offseason. You know, he talked about during Michigan State Media Day how a third of his shots in practice have been coming from behind the arc. So he really improved his shot, and that should open up things inside for Nick Ward when he's not going against the one guy in the country who's bigger and stronger and more skilled than he is. So I think ultimately, I mean, you saw a Michigan State team that is like Tom Izzo likes it. You know, there's not going to be that one guy who you're going to say, hey, go take over the game. Hey, Miles, I need you to score 30 tonight or anything like that. You're going to see a team that's not going to quit, though. And I think that I think even Nick Ward, who, you know, he struggled with the size of Azubuike. He didn't quit mentally. He just looked better, even though physically speaking, as far as his actual game goes, it may have been the worst game of his career, but like he looked mentally stronger, and a lot of his mistakes weren't because he was getting lazy or sloppy or anything like that. A lot of his mistakes came just because the guy was bigger than he was, and Nick Ward's obviously not used to playing against somebody like that. So, I mean, what you saw is what you're going to get the entire season. If Langford knows that he needs to be the consistent scorer throughout the course of a game, at least to get him to an end point where I think a lot of people in wearing green and white think that Cassius Winston probably more suited to take over that clutch-type role. You know, I think Michigan State's going to be as good as anybody in the country, with the exception of Duke.
Yeah. I mean, we won't get into Duke right this second. We'll stay on Michigan State, Kansas thing here. I'll tell you what I thought. I mean, before I seen Duke, obviously, when I watched Kansas play, I said, you know, number one, they completely fooled me, and I don't know what I was thinking because clearly this is a team that was in the Final Four last year. I watched them beat Duke live, and I thought, man, this team is really athletic. And with Ozbuki inside, obviously they're outstanding. I mean, they lost some guards. But Kansas is not a team I follow much. I mean, they kind of throw a curveball at me. But then they come back with great guard play. They get a, you know, good depth off the bench. Great wing players with the Twins, and their names are slipping my mind for some reason. I guess I'm just really
KJ and Dedrick Lawson.
Knowing the Kansas team, my first thoughts, Kyle, when I watched it, I said, that's a national championship level team, Kansas. And they are. I mean, you can say what you want about Duke. I mean, clearly, if Duke plays their best team, like last night, I mean, wow. And who knows? I don't see anyone beating them. But Kansas is a really good basketball team. They've got good defense. I'll be honest with you, Tyler, the one thing that I was very impressed with Michigan State is that they were able to score on them because Kansas pressures the ball. They really are big inside. It's hard to rebound against them. And I thought that Michigan State scored with them. I thought the scoring depth was the one thing that I was really impressed with Michigan State. I thought Langford was really tough on the wing. I mean, he had a few times where he kind of, you know, got too loose with the ball, but that's going to happen in game one, and it may happen again. He's just kind of like that, you know, Langford kind of comes and goes. But, you know, honestly, bigger picture here, they just really competed well against a Final Four level team, in my opinion.
Yeah, and what you said about the offense, you know, you look at how many points they hung on Kansas, that's cool, but then you also look at some of the sloppy turnovers that they had, the points they left at the free throw line, which, you know, Nick Ward's not going to make all his free throws, just like Ozebuki's not going to make all of his. But, you know, when you have Langford only going 1-for-2 and, you know, Aaron Henry, who, you know, we obviously don't know what type of free throw shooter he's going to be, but because he is so young, but he went 0-for-2 at the Stripe.
Why,
you know, I think Winston.
Do you have the answer to that? Why do you think they're so bad at the free throw line?
I honestly have no idea. You know, you look at it from a free throw perspective, you know, they're usually, I think last year they're in the middle of the pack, and you had Bridges and Winston, two guys who got to the line as much as anybody besides Nick Ward, shooting about 90%. The rest of the team kind of leveled it out, but yeah, I honestly don't have an answer to that. That's been one of their issues. Youth and inexperience was a part of that the past couple of seasons because it was a younger team. But, you know, this year, maybe it was this year. So far, all we can do is we can chalk it up to a bad night because it's such a small sample size. But, look, this offense was great. I think, obviously, there's a lot of room on the bench. So that was when Kansas really started pulling away. But I think Michigan State starters did just as well, if not better, than Kansas is throughout the course of the whole game. And so you look at the starting five, and they can hang with almost anybody in the country. The bench is where it gets a little dicey, especially when, even in situations where Matt McQuaid is your one go-to guy on the floor, because occasionally he is going to be running point, so Winston's going to be out. If Langford's out and Henry's in, you know, McQuaid's the guy, and that's not a good look for Michigan State. But the starters, when the starting group was in, you know, you can make a case they're better than Kansas's.
Sure. No, I thought they competed hard. One thing I noticed, kind of from what you said about the turnovers earlier, that's what really hurt them, where Kansas really took advantage of the sloppy play, where State would turn it over. You know, Langford had a turnover one time. They come down, and, you know, the kid hits a three. Bang, just like that. And there was a lot of moments that were like that, where Kansas, really the only time they really looked like they were in total control was when Michigan State gave the ball away and then came down and finished. And the other thing is they got to the paint. I mean, Kansas is the one team, I've seen this in the past, I mean, Tyler, they are outstanding at dominating the paint. I mean, they not only with their bigs, but just getting to the paint, whether it's with their wings. I mean, gosh, the stat when Michigan played them in the Sweet 16, they had 60 points in the paint. That's incredible. 60 points. And, you know, I think they had 40-some or close to 50 in the state game, and that's just hard to beat. I mean, the one thing I'll say about Kansas is, and I know it's probably a touchy subject for a lot of people, but you can say what you want about Bill Self in terms of the things off the court, but as far as on the court, he is a very good basketball coach. And I would argue, because we're going to talk about this here soon, when we talk about Duke and Kentucky, he is a far better basketball coach than John Calipari, far better. And we noticed it last year when they played Duke in the tournament, when Duke was playing a zone the whole year, they sliced that zone up. I mean, completely just dominated that zone. And I think Bill Self is a very good coach in Kansas. I mean, 15 straight, Tyler, 15 straight Big 12 conference championships. And I'm not saying that the Big 12 is like, oh, man, it's dominant. But it's better than the SEC a lot of times. And they just dominate. And, you know, I know a lot of it has to do with the players they get. I'm not going to say he's the greatest coach ever, but he is a good coach. And I just think from Michigan State side, you know, you go against that in the first game. And I'll be honest with you, watching both teams start, I just thought they were going to get blown out. I just thought Kansas looked, you know, they did look like a team that's one of the top teams in the country. And I thought they did a great job. I mean, they stuck with them. They made it close. They made it scary. And it was fun to watch for Michigan State. And, you know, when we end on that game, tell me what you think as far as, I think we've just seen the Big Ten champions play. I mean, I really think nobody is well-rounded enough like Michigan State is. Talk about why you also think maybe that is the case as well.
Well, I mean, I think you look at the type of defense that this team can play. I mean, obviously, you know, they gave up quite a few points to Kansas, but a lot of them were, as Tom Izzo says, turnovers for touchdowns, which we kind of talked about. And then you also have there were a lot of loose ball rebounds that Kansas won based on their height. You know, you got a 6'8 Nick Ward going against 7-footer Azubuike. You got a 6'6 Kenny going against going against a 6'10 power forward. So,
right.
A lot of it was, you know, Michigan State's guys thinking to help. Everybody crashes trying to get the rebound. Kansas is able to tip it out because they got the height advantage. Boom, wide open three. Bang, it's over. And so I think the defense for Michigan State's going to be good. Another reason, and this one kind of shocks me, is their leadership off the bench. Because we talked about, look, Michigan State does not have a very deep bench. I think ultimately you have 7, maybe 8 guys in total that can be quality, at the very least, role players. You know, you got 5 starters, then you got Kyle Arns coming off the bench. Aaron Henry, simply put, he impressed the hell out of me. He didn't score a lot.
Yeah.
He didn't use his 6'10" wingspan.
Very athletic.
Didn't use his 6'10" wingspan on defense. He kind of played with his hands in front of him. But there was one huddle where he walks out of the huddle and he's walking out with Cassius Winston. And he's sitting there and he's pointing different directions on the floor. I don't know what he was saying. But anytime you sit there and you have a third-year starter, a point guard, who should know everything inside and out, one who got accepted into Harvard, he's that smart, sitting there nodding in agreement with a freshman in his first game against the number one team in the country, you got something special right there in that kid. And he really impressed me with his knowledge of the game. Like I said, I wish he would have used his wingspan a little bit more, take away some of those inside passing lanes. But, I mean, shoot, the kid's only 18 years old, so, you know, you got to give credit where it's due. But I think Michigan State's top eight is as good as anybody in the country outside of Duke.
Yeah, no, they don't have a lot of scoring depth. I mentioned that to you. The scoring depth is where they may struggle. But and then I think I had said to you, is this enough scoring to make a push to win the Big Ten and go deep into the tournament? And obviously the scoring is pretty obvious. It's Winston, Langford, Ward, and then, hey, if Goins can shoot that well all year and hit open shots, hey, you got four guys that can potentially score double figures every night. I think it's probably enough to win a lot of basketball games and win the conference. It's probably not enough to beat anybody like a Duke or Kansas or Gonzaga. You know, those are the teams that, you know, you got to have a little more. But, hey, you could sleep well at night knowing that those are the only teams that you have to add another piece against. It's kind of a Big Ten, I think.
Maybe later in the season, Aaron Henry becomes that guy because he definitely has the talent for it.
He's very athletic. I think what he's going to turn into this year, I think he's going to turn into a go-to stopper for Izzo. I see that happening because you know Tom loves this. He loves guys that are athletic, that want to defend. He has an energy, like you just said. He has a confidence that he can communicate already as a freshman to leaders. So, yeah, I was very, very impressed with Aaron Henry. In fact, he looked like he belonged out there. I think, you know, guys like, you know, Arons, they can hit shots. So, I mean, if he comes off the bench and hits a few shots like he did, that's key. I mean, Tillman's going to be really tough to stop. Tillman's going to be a threat on both ends of the floor. I think they have everything they need as far as the conference goes. But if you're going to have to have one more really talented athletic player step up against the big team, and that's probably Aaron Henry. You're probably right. I mean, Tillman will do his job off the bench. Probably someone like Aaron Henry can really come into his own towards the end of the year. But, you know, in that time, that's the fun thing. I mean, we'll see this kid develop throughout the year. Let's go to Duke, Kentucky before we go into football. I mean, obviously, I don't want to spend too much time on this because I think it's getting a little outrageous, some of the things that I've heard. But, look, they're unbelievable. There's a lot of things that they're great at. I'm not going to get carried away, and this is why I'm not going to get carried away. One is one game, and we don't know if these guys are going to play that way all the time. Number two, just very disappointed in Kentucky. I mean, I just, you know how I've been a Cal supporter for over the years. And on this one, I can't support it. I mean, I just thought that they were outclassed, they were outplayed, they got outworked. Kentucky looked like they didn't want to work. They got all coached. And, I mean, it almost looks like, hey, Kentucky, you do realize who you're playing against, right? If you're going to throw around the ball, you're going to play your erratic. And, you know, you're giving the ball to now Zion Williamson and RJ Barrett. They're off to the races. Good luck. So, I mean, do they watch these guys at all play? Do they know what these guys could do? And then the other question I ask is maybe they just let this thing play out. Cal's been known to do this. He's like, hey, whatever. You know, let this thing play out. Our young kids need to learn, and they need to learn the hard way. Kind of have that attitude once in a while. But I thought this was a complete, just crappy. I mean, that was something I could think of for Kentucky. Just terrible. And bad on defense. I mean, so bad. And just no pressure applied. They could do whatever they wanted. I guess my question is, is Duke just that good, or maybe Kentucky wasn't very good at all, and that's why it looked this way?
I think it's a little bit of a combination of both. I mean, ultimately, Calipari got beat at his own game. Like, hey, look at all these freshmen I bring in. Hey, look at all these stud freshmen I bring in. Coach K's like, okay. And so what happens? Duke's three freshmen outscores the entire Kentucky team 89-84. I mean, It was unbelievable to see. Ultimately, though, like you said, they got out-coached. That's going to happen. Coach K is the best coach in the country. Calipari, I think, is the most overrated coach in the country. And you can sit there and you can talk about all the NBA players and garbage that he has, but it's like, here's the thing. These guys are five-star recruits that could have went in the first round of the NBA draft if they would have went straight out of high school. So it's not like he develops players. X's and O's, everyone knows he's mediocre. You know, he's been to the NIT with, like, three straight seasons of the top recruiting classes in the country. He's not that good of a coach, and so Coach K knew exactly where to hit him, and that's exactly what he did. And look, Calipari has no business hanging around Coach K, you know, just like Izzo has no business hanging around Coach K, except Izzo's a quality coach.
Yeah. And when you look at Duke, this is something I think people forget. This is maybe where my mind plays tricks on me because when I say all these things about Kentucky, I think they're going to be really good towards the end of the year. They're very talented, and they've had a really good class, and some out of point guard play, you know, and I think if the point guard play is better, they might be pretty darn good, and they'll win that conference. But I think Tennessee's got a really good shot of winning that conference. They were outstanding last year, but just to stick with Duke before we go to football, I don't think people understand this. They got four guys in their starting lineup that could potentially be top 15 picks. And when I say that, three of those guys could be the first three picks. You know, with Cam Reddish, people don't even talk about Cam Reddish.
He's unbelievable. If he goes to Michigan State, he's the best player on the floor by far. Cam Reddish is the third or fourth option sometimes. And he's unbelievable. And he's a freak athlete. But because RJ Barrett and Zion are so good, we don't even talk about Trey Jones or Cam Reddish. I mean, Trey Jones, outstanding point guard. You know, I mean, his brother played there. He's going to be great all year. He's going to look really good against Kentucky. I mean, he won't even be talked about all year, but he's outstanding, and he's an NBA player. And it's just, you got four guys that are NBA players right now. You really do. I mean, Trey Jones could stay another year, but he doesn't need to. He's good enough. He's ready now as well. They're just loaded. I mean, they're not only are they loaded, but here's the thing. The one thing that Coach K has probably done better than everybody else, he seems to find a way to get these kids to buy in. He doesn't have any attitude issues, typically. If he's ever had them, it hasn't happened very often.
Outside of Grayson Allen?
They want to win. They want to not go to the NBA right after the first year, which it hasn't been the Duke way. And he's got it wrong. And you can just only hope that maybe they have a couple off nights. But if all those guys are playing their best game or playing even close to it, you're just not going to beat them. I mean, they're just too good. But I just think, you know, how this thing plays out in college basketball, it's so much fun because they're going to have to go on the road in some awful environment still. They've never done that before. They're going to have to play really good both in the tournament and not have a slip up. And if another team plays outstanding, we've seen this so many times, they can lose. So I'm really tired of that. This is the greatest team that we've ever seen. Look, they're really good. I'm not downplaying this team, but let's let this team play out. Let's have fun with it. Let's see what they do on the road against North Carolina, what they do at Virginia, what they do even at a Notre Dame who wants to beat them. Everybody's going to be gunning for them. So, you know, it's going to be fun to watch. But, look, it is good for everybody. They're head and shoulders, skill and talent-wise above the rest. There's a few teams here. It's fun for college basketball, but we got football still, so clearly – there's a lot to talk about still in football. I mean, a lot of things are going to happen these next few weeks to kind of tell us what our New Year's plans are going to be. Let's go Michigan State, Ohio State. I think this is a big game. And for Michigan State, number one, you win this one, then we're really talking about a good bowl game this year. And talk about that game, what it means to you, what it should mean to the Spartan fans.
Well, I mean, I think it's huge, you know, earlier on in the week, you know, there was a lot of talk about Michigan State fans saying, you know what, if MSU loses, this isn't the worst thing to happen because then it puts Ohio State in control of their own destiny in regards to whether or not they can keep Michigan out of the Big Ten championship. And ultimately, that kind of fell by the wayside, especially when the playoff committee seems to be a lot higher on the Big Ten than a lot of other people. I think if Michigan State didn't have the injuries, I think you could probably make the case that I've been saying for the last couple of years that the Big Ten's the best conference in college football. top to bottom, best conference in college. And so I think when so obviously that New Year's Six Bowl is there, Ohio State, if they win out, there is a possibility that, hey, you know what, maybe they make the college football playoff. They've got a they do only have one loss. It was a very, very ugly loss. But if you can come out and you beat a team that's as highly ranked as Michigan, if you come out and you can beat a team like Michigan State, whose, you know, defense has gotten even better than it was at the beginning of the season, you know, a lot of people are going to hop on that OSU train. And I think that's going to open up a fourth spot for them. I mean, you end up in the fourth spot, you'll get steamrolled by Alabama. But
right.
It's something there where, you know, Ohio State still got a shot at the playoff. Michigan State, they've still got a shot at a New Year's Six, a lot riding on it. And here's the thing, you know, before the season, we talked about our expectations for Michigan State. And we talked about them winning the Big Ten. You know, I thought they were the favorite. And I think if they were healthy, that would still be the case. All those injuries happened, and we started to question whether or not this team could make a bowl game. Now we're talking about New Year's Six. That's a win for D'Antonio. That's a win for D'Antonio. There's a lot on the line. If they lose to Ohio State, you know, you're beat up. It's kind of expected to happen with the lack of depth. That's not an Ohio State situation where, oh, no, we lost Bosa. What are we going to do? Oh, Chase Young, come on in. You know, it's not that situation.
Fine.
You don't have that across every position like Ohio State may possibly have. I mean, they're still a little young as far as their depth goes.
In certain moments, they'll miss Bosa because he was that dominant. But they don't. They're not going to lose a game because of not having him. I don't believe that. I think that's where people go wrong.
And you could probably point to a couple of losses for Michigan State because of the lack of depth that they have because of the injuries. So this is a win for D'Antonio. If they lose, it's not a garbage season. You know, you go out there, you win the next couple of games. You're looking at a 8-14 that lost their entire starting offense, at least for one game each throughout the course of the season. So it's either way, you know, things can still end up pretty good for MSU, win or lose. Obviously, a win that could propel this team into some pretty big things in 2019. So it means a lot more than just this season.
I think as far as the injuries, I mean, it's affected Michigan State. I mean, I would argue that as well as Notre Dame played in week one, I think if Michigan had Tariq Black, it might have been a different story. You just never know. I mean, we can never answer those questions or those wondering moments that, well, what if this is going to happen? You do what you can with what you have. And I think Mike D'Antonio and his staff and this program has done a really good job considering what they lost. And now you can really put a stamp on it by beating a really good team at home, who's in the top 10, another top 10 win for D'Antonio. But that's another big match. He's obviously had a better record than everybody else against Ohio State. That has to be talked about. It gives your players momentum to head into next year because, you know, let's just be honest, I mean, Michigan's kind of on a tear right now. I mean, they are playing well. I don't see them slipping up against Rutgers or Indiana. So it's safe to say that they're going to go into that last game to win the Big Ten championship. And rightfully so. I mean, it's just been, you know, I'll be honest, I think Michigan has been a lot better than I thought they were going to be. I think they've improved. I think a lot of quarterbacks playing, obviously, the offensive line play. Defense, I kind of already knew they would be good. I think Michigan State, Michigan, both those two defenses are the best in the Big Ten, they're the best in the country. A lot of people are saying Michigan does have the best defense in the country. I think there's a little argument there. There's a few other teams that are tied to have a say in that. But, you know, when you look at it, the whole thing here for both schools, it's not a lot to play for. And that's pretty cool. And Michigan State, a couple things could have been different if injuries don't happen. But I think that this game, you know, the arguments were like, I can't believe that
nobody wants their team to lose. It's just the thought of, you know, if they do lose, well, at least those guys down the road don't get it easy. You know, like, but that's just part of the rivalry. And that's just making it fun. But I really hope that going into this game, also the one thing I challenge the fan base in Michigan City, because you understand it, because you've been through the rough times, you also stuck through it, and you also want them to win, and you also seen the dominance, to be quite frank, that Michigan State has had over their rival, that they, the winning they've had, the championships, there's a lot of hardware in that Michigan State football complex now. I mean, I think that this is a game where you got to hold the pace, man. You got to be there. You got to put it on the line for your team who's fought through a lot of adversity and they haven't hung it up yet. Give State credit. They have really had a lot of unfortunate situations. I really hope that place is full of red power. I mean, I really don't. I mean, because it just shouldn't be. I mean, talk about that, because you've been there when that's happened. And it's got to be the most deflating thing. I've been in Michigan City when the OHIO went through the whole stadium and Rich Rod was there. It is the biggest slap in the face. Talk about that. Fan base, how important it is to show up and support this team.
Well, I mean, I think it's huge, you know. Now that we've talked, now that everyone's kind of seen what the playoff committee thinks, I think it's a great thing. Problem is, StubHub, and as far as I know, I just heard this through word of mouth, lower bowl ticket, $17 for the Ohio State game. You want to know why Ohio State fills the stadium? Fills visiting stadiums? I mean,
wow.
I sat there and I feel like I've...
Did you just say $17?
Like I said, that was word of mouth. That's what I heard. $17, there's low bowl tickets available. So, I've sat there through the John L. years, and I felt like I was visiting the Shoe. Me and one of my friends, we were the only ones wearing green and white. And, you know, she was kind of asking the same questions. Why is it all red? I was like, we suck. You know, Michigan State doesn't suck this year, though. You know,
right.
Like we've talked about, this is a good team with some unfortunate incidents that, you know, a handbrake here and Achilles here and, you know, a sore shoulder there. You know, maybe this team is still fighting for the Big Ten championship. And so it's not been a bad season. It's been a good season.
Yeah.
A lot of people kind of thought that Michigan State may have maxed out last year. So they were anticipating 9-3, 8-4. Guess what? Michigan State's about to they should at least reach one of those two. They should at least reach that 8-4 with half their freaking team missing. With half their freaking starters. So this is a great team.
Right.
It's been riddled by injury.
I don't think that way, though, the fan base.
Of the people, Cody White, obviously he's not the same guy because he's got a cast on his hand. But, you know, even he made some pretty good catches against Maryland, particularly the first one where he was getting horse collar tackled on for like a 20, 30-yard pass. So, you know, this is a good team. It's a big game. This is a big game for Michigan State in regards to that. D'Antonio's from Ohio. He's built a pipeline, a recruiting pipeline to Ohio. And so there's a lot of Ohio kids on this team. It may mean more to some, more to some than others, such as LJ Scott, where it probably means very little. As there's talks about him redshirting under the new redshirt rule, which I think would be an awful move for Michigan State. But this is a good team. It's a huge game. There's still a lot on the line. It's not what Michigan State fans expected at the beginning of the season. So I understand your frustration a little bit. I was there. I'm still there. There's no reason not to be there. It should be a good game. Because this rush defense that got obliterated by OSU, there's a new coordinator. So that way maybe MSU avoids having the five in the box situation where, the center bumps off, chips the tackle off to a guard, and then go clears out Bocci, and then Weber or Dobbins just run up the middle, which happened three or four times last year. So maybe that changes a little bit. There's no threat of Haskins keeping, so maybe they pinch in a little bit more on the defensive line and try to stop that type of run play.
I want to say this one thing about Haskins, you take away
a lot of OSU's offense.
Let me explain this. I'm telling you it's coming, and mark it down. Watching them play Michigan last year, number one, Haskins is not a bad runner. They have not used him in that situation enough, and I'm really not sure why. He's not a JT Barrett runner, but he is a solid runner. And I am really beware because I think it's coming. I think that they're saving it. I really do. I think he's a good enough runner. It's going to happen. You got to be careful of it. And he really hurt Michigan last year on the run. He had a couple big runs, and it wasn't designed runs, though. So, I mean, those with Barrett, they're designed runs. I get that. But I really think you got to be cautious of it because he is an athlete. He still can run. I mean, he's not a quick guy.
Well, the tackles,
once he gets in
the tackles
space,
can
he's
still
very,
pinch.
Very fast.
The tackles can still pinch
field.
As long as the end, as long as the end stays home and, you know, is ready to make a play either way. It's not that big of a deal with a guy like Haskins. With Barrett, the end can stay home and it may not matter. With, you know, Miller, the end could stay home and it may not matter. So this is a different type of quarterback that they're playing. They do need to be better prepared for the pass. Guys like K.J. Hill, I'm going to say K.J. Hill probably on his way to receiver of the year in the Big Ten.
Their receiving is so hard to stop.
So, luckily Michigan State got Josiah Scott back. He'll end up sitting out either the bowl game or the Rutgers game at the end of the year. And he's going to end up taking a red shirt too. So,
nice.
But he's in this game. Ohio State doesn't beat you with the taller receiver, so I think it's a good matchup for Scott. It's an awful test for your first full game back in the starting lineup to have to go against guys like that. But, you know, I mean, if anybody can come off an injury where you haven't played all year and then try to hang with these guys, you know, you got to give it to Josiah Scott.
Well, I'll tell you what's going on right now in the rivalries. We love rivalries, clearly. It's a huge part of our life.
What's the name of the show again?
Yeah, you know, this is a big time deal for us. The idea started because of such powerful rivalries. And it just makes college football so fun. Whereas the NFL is just, you know, Joel Klatt said it a few weeks ago, it's just the Michigan State, it was fun just to see them not like each other and not, you know, bro hugging it out. And with the NFL, everybody just loves everybody. And, you know, there's no tough rivalries anymore. We love this type of stuff, this competition. And one thing that's happening in this whole little area of the country in the Midwest, in the Big Ten, as far as rivalry goes, not sure what you've seen, Tyler, and I know this is going to get ruffle some feathers, but Dwayne Haskins asked Trey Patterson for advice on the Michigan State Spartans defense. They've been friends, read the article, and they both spoke incredibly highly of each other. I know what's going on right now, and I know that I love it, and I know you know what's coming. Michigan's number one rival is who now? It's
Michigan's
State.
Number one rival
finally.
Is Michigan State.
Michigan and Michigan State are number one rivals, and I would argue that Ohio State is treating Michigan State like tied for first with Michigan for number one rivalry. I know that comes off a little. That might hurt some Wolverine fans, but it's the truth. Well, Michigan State has been more successful against them, and that gives the attitude where Ohio State takes this game very serious, and they want to be a group of guys that have had success against them. So, hey, quarterback has to
well,
be a Michigan quarterback. You know, and this is where we live.
Well, in 2015.
What are your thoughts on that, though? That's a little different.
Well, first off, let me just say, in 2015, the game where Michael Geiger windmilled his way across Columbus after hitting the game-winning field goal, which, by the way, also the same week Michigan State basketball played Kansas.
Yeah.
And, you know, this week there's quarterback questions in the air. You know, D'Antonio said LaWorke's the starter, but how short of a leash is he going to be on? Last year, or in 2015, Connor Cook did not play. Beat Ohio State with Tyler O'Connor and Damian Terry. How stupid that sounds in hindsight. But after that game, there was an Ohio assistant coach. I don't remember what writer reported this, what media member reported this, but he said to expletive with Michigan, Michigan State's our rival now. And so, you know, has more losses than D'Antonio than, or maybe it's tied right now with the Purdue game, then he's got as many losses across the rest of the Big Ten. So it's a challenge for Michigan State. You know, D'Antonio takes this game seriously. We've talked about this has kind of a rival, junior rivalry type buildup or whatever in regard to Michigan State obviously still considers Michigan number one, you know, with or without 8 of the last 11 or what have you, whatever it is right now. So this is a huge game. The fact that Haskins and Patterson were really, you know, willing to chat over the phone over Michigan State and how to try to beat them when, you know, the only sure answer right now is, you know, just make sure an ambulance is close by. It kind of shocked me. You know, Ohio State and Michigan, you know, when they play, there's going to be about 21 other players on each team that are going to be beating the crap out of each other. Haskins and Patterson.
Yep.
Bro hug it out, whatever. They can do that garbage all they want. But, you know, I think this also adds a little more fuel to the Michigan State-Michigan rivalry. And then you throw on top of that, look, there's been one way that we've kind of approached this over the last couple of years, and I think you and I have had this conversation. Michigan wants to beat Ohio State more than any other team in the country. Without question.
I disagree.
They want to beat Ohio State more than any. No, they want to beat Ohio State more than any other team in the country.
I think the fan base
does.
I think the program doesn't.
But there is not.
I think the program wants to beat Michigan State more. But I think the fan base still wants Ohio State that game more than any other game.
Yeah. Michigan wants to beat Ohio State more than anybody else in the country. But they don't. But they do not. There's nobody in the country that they want to lose to less than Michigan State. That's the one team in the country they don't want to lose to. That's kind of been the way that this thing has been approached. And so, you know, Michigan's going to do whatever they can to try to keep Michigan State down and turn it back into the, or turn it into a new Big 2 Little 12 situation in the conference. And
sure.
Look, Michigan State's not going to take it. They might have to take it on Saturday, but they're not going to take it for long. They're not going to take it next year either.
Yeah. No, I think this is what happens. This is the attitude, and it hasn't actually ever been different, but finally it's coming out in the program. Michigan is not like Michigan State at all, and I think you're absolutely right that they – definitely never want to lose to them, and I think it's a sigh of relief when Michigan beats State instead of a I think they were so jubilant this year because it was like, thank God we beat those guys. And I think it got the monkey off their back, and I think it also is a clear path now to
– That's not true.
We're good.
Harbaugh's still there.
You know, we're good now. We beat Michigan State. We are confident now. They're a more confident football team now after beating Michigan State. I thought they still played – very timid against Michigan State. They played not to lose sometimes. And I think the weather had a lot to do with it. I think the weather hurt both teams. I think if it's a clear day, I think Michigan destroys them. But, I mean, that's just my opinion. The reason why I feel that way is because Michigan State was so banged up. And Michigan is so much better than a banged-up Michigan State team. And, I mean, look at the yardage. It was a blowout. But at the same time, as far as the rivalry goes – Ohio State and Michigan, they want each other to always be the best. They hate each other, but they kind of love each other. You know, it's a weird, you know, people don't ever talk this way about it. I've seen it, and I've witnessed it, and I've lived it. We want it to come down to that last game. We want it to be us beating Ohio State. We grew up that way. Our fathers grew up that way. So Michigan State is throwing a little, you know, wrench in that. Whereas even though we want to kill them, we kind of have a respect for Ohio State. It's weird. Whereas Michigan State, Michigan fans, we don't respect them. We don't like them. We don't respect them. We don't want to lose to them. And we look at them as lesser. You know, it's just the attitude that Michigan people have. And I think it's great because it keeps this thing going. It keeps the rivalry going. Michigan State's like, no, we're not going to have it. I got friends that play the state, and they hate Michigan, and they have every right to. And I got Michigan friends that have family members that played there, and they hate state. They look down on them. And you know what? It's just how it is. But I think that this Ohio State-Michigan State game is really big. I mean, it's really big for a lot of reasons besides just stats and rankings. This is kind of personal for a lot of the kids that play at Michigan State. They're Ohio kids. They got pushed away by the big boys. They play with an attitude. And it's going to be fun. And I can't wait. I mean, I can't wait to watch this game. I think Michigan, I just think they're too good to ever slip up to anyone like Rutgers. So there really isn't much to talk about there, in my opinion. I hope I'm right on that. I hope that the Indiana game is the same. I think Indiana's a little scary because they can score. But my prediction this weekend, I will put an early prediction in for Michigan State, Ohio State. I think Ohio State's going to win, and I think they'll win by 10. You know, I think that they'll outscore State. I think that's where State will struggle. Whereas even though Ohio State's defense is bad, I think because of the injuries and Michigan State hasn't had a full group, I think it's just kind of been a tough year for them to get going. So I can see a 27-17 or 30-20 win for Ohio State. I think they'll just get loose. The receivers will. I think they're going to give up a couple plays. And I just think that's something I expect to happen. I don't want it to happen. I really want Michigan State to win. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think you're right there. You know, Ohio State, healthy, they're the better team. You know, they've been, well, they're Buckeyes, so I guess they've been, you know, game by games, you know, by the hair on their nuts. But they've I worked on that one all week.
You did a good job. That was pretty good. You know, I kind of have a feeling it's going to have something to do with the lower extremities of the body. Yeah. No, yeah, you're going to be there. I really hope fan bases for there's a mutual respect for Michigan State and Ohio State, too, which is kind of cool. There's not any hatred there.
Oh, absolutely.
Ohio State people tell me that they love Sparty. That cracks me up. Ohio State people, they love Michigan State. And I think it's because Michigan State beat the crap out of Michigan. That's probably why it is. Or there is more mutual respect.
How much time we got left?
Yeah. We're going to – if you got a good story for me, I'll give you a few minutes.
All right. So in 2013, my wife and I, we went to Northwestern. And we were walking back to the car, had this gentleman walk up to me. And it was just completely random. He goes, "Hey, I got a question for you." He goes, "How well do you think you represent Michigan State?" I was like, I'll say pretty well. And so the guy asked me, he goes, "If it comes down to it, Michigan or Ohio State," he goes, "who do you want to win that game?" And I was like, "Ohio State." And he kind of looked at me, you know, Ohio State's been the premier program. Obviously, that year it went to Michigan State in the Big Ten Championship against OSU, but he asked me, "Why is that?" And I sat there and I told him, I was like, "Because the enemy of my enemy is my friend." And I think that's the type of respect that Michigan State and Ohio State fans, and even the players to an extent, take into that game.
Sure. Yeah, no question. No question. I think that, you know, they would,
that whole team don't like Michigan at all. Whereas I think Michigan is kind of putting it out there that they are really treating Michigan State as the team that they care about beating the most, which I think is important for Michigan, because I just think it's that pass. It's, they're in your path to get to Ohio State. You've got to take care of them. You've got to take care of Michigan State. And, you know, Gary Moeller said that. That was the biggest and most important game on our schedule. I don't care what anybody says. It hurts people's feelings around here. But beating Michigan State, getting over that, because you're playing against a team who every single year plays their best or is most excited to play you. You know, I mean, I know this year they didn't play their best, but they came out fired up. They wanted to beat Michigan as bad as any other year. The difference was they were banged up, and Michigan was just better with what they had. But there will never be a year that Michigan State does not come into that game fired the heck up. And then some years they might be down that year, and they're going to play their best game of the year. So Michigan has to treat that game as the most important game. And I'm glad it finally took. After all these years, they finally realized it. And they're putting it out there. They're not faking it. Here, this is – we don't like them. We don't like them at all. And even after winning, I didn't like some of the things that were said, but I get it. I get what they were saying. They basically were saying, in other words, that's our biggest game. We don't like them. We want to kick them the crap out of them. And then after we beat them, we're going to act like this because we are bigger and better than you. I mean, that's the attitude Michigan has now. And I'm cool with it because it's going to grow this. I think these three teams are going to have some fun years ahead. I really do. I think Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, we're going to have a little battle. I think Penn State's in shambles. I think Franklin's season, you know, it's going downhill. I really see it coming.
He's coming to an end.
I think it's coming to an end, and I'm excited about that. I hate to say it that way, but I really want to see Michigan State, Ohio State, and Michigan be those three teams where they beat up on each other. And who's going to come out on the end, you know, and survive it. So we'll see, though. I mean, this year, obviously, big game this weekend. I'm going to be texting Tyler probably three or four times going back and forth if I will actually attend. Tyler's got me all thrown off because now I'm like, what team do I root for? I don't know who to root
you're
for.
You're
0-4,
right?
Michigan State. Yeah.
You're 0-4 when we text back and forth, right? You're 0-4 when we text back and forth,
I'm Harbaugh's record. I'm Harbaugh's record versus Urban when it comes to texting Tyler about going to the game. I feel like Jimmy Harbaugh in this situation. But look, I'm rooting for Sparty if I go, so that's just my attitude. You can root against Michigan all you
Sounds
want.
Sounds like
I'll
a
go
good one
State
to go to.
Ohio. Yeah, exactly. $17, lower bowl. I'm good with that. I'll be calling.
See you there?
Let's see how my checking. Let's see how my checking account is going right now, and maybe I'll go lower bowl. Anyway, Tyler, I'm excited for the weekend. Hopefully I see. If I don't, we'll be talking obviously about this game, and it'll be fun.
Sounds good. Look forward to it.
Yep. Again, radio big weekend. Number 10 Ohio State versus number 18 Michigan State. Boy, it sounds good to talk about Michigan State right that high again. They're turning around in a pretty adversity-filled season, to say the least. So, you tune in noon o'clock, 12 p.m., big game, Michigan State, Ohio State. We'll either be there, or Tyler will be. I may be. We'll see. We're going to still be over when it comes to the North Spartan games. Michigan 330 against Rutgers, that would be one that you want to tune into. Obviously, they've got a lot to play for. 78-0, did it go for more? I think Rutgers is a little better. I don't see it being that bad this time. I do think Michigan will be big. We will talk about all of that and a little more college basketball after the game Saturday. And tune in. Again, if you want to call in Rivalry Radio, just call in at 657-383-0430. Again, 657-383-0430. Again, this is
Jordan, your phone.
Every radio and rivalry matters besides, like, how are you still doing?
So close.
Tyler's killing the phone. He's like, let me talk a little more. You got another story for him?
No, I'm just committed. That's all.
Are you watching old Michigan games? He's probably watching YouTube old Michigan State versus Michigan wins. And,
no, 2013
yeah.
Big Ten Championship.
So we're over and out here. Tune in, guys. Thanks for listening.